Hi, it's Nadine. You're listening to Dan Wooten's Bizarre Life podcast, and today I'm his guest. Before we start, be sure you subscribe to get all Dan's interviews for free. You can already listen to Simon Cowell, Ollie Murs, Take That, Jerry Halliwell, and loads of others. Shall we start?
Nadine Cowell, let's talk about your bizarre life.
Oh my goodness, okay, hello.
I'm so excited about this, by the way.
Oh, so am I.
Because
really, really excited.
I never actually got to interview Girls Aloud all together. So I've interviewed you all individually, but never as a group. And I think I have to apologize in advance to everyone listening because you've got two pretty strong accents today. So
yes.
You've got my Kiwi twangs, and obviously Nadine has, I think, the most famous accent in pop.
No way. Well, I'll try to slow it down.
No, I love it. I love it. I could just listen to your voice all day long. And actually, later on, we're going to be playing the Bizarre Accent Challenge as well, which is going to be a corker with you, Nadine. But look, there's so much to talk about. You're obviously back in the UK, back releasing brand new music, your first solo material now for what, like seven years.
Uh-huh.
Go to Work is out now. Girls Aloud, the end, right? There was a debate about what really went on.
Mm-hmm.
And so can you clear it up once and for all? Because there seems to have been quite a lot of back and forth where you said that you had never agreed for the band to officially split, and Cheryl came out very, very strongly and used a swear word to say you were talking the S word.
Mm-hmm.
So what is the truth? What actually happened with the end of Girls Aloud?
I thought we were going to continue on. I thought we were going to do loads and loads of stuff. We had songs there. We had, you know, three album deal or whatever from Universal. And it seemed like a great time, you know, come back, we're doing this reunion tour, we're going to continue on day. And it just didn't, obviously the girls had different plans, but we didn't talk about the plans throughout promo time. You know, we'd done all of that promo, and I remember Graham Norton saying, is this just a reunion and then you're going to break up? And everyone was like, not me. Everyone was like, no, it's 10 years and more, and hashtagging it and stuff. So I was with everybody else.
So you were committed to stay in the group and
absolutely.
For the group to continue.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, from the start I was committed to the group. It was, you know, I loved being in the group. I really, really enjoyed it.
So that tweet that was sent out from the official Girls Aloud account, which announced the end of the band, that was sent without your knowledge.
Yes, that was so the very last night.
Yeah.
Management had came to the room. I was already just about to get dressed. Look, so I know you're not going to like this. No, you're not going to agree with the girls when they split up the band. And I was like, what? All four of them? Because I thought Sarah, no way. I thought maybe three, definitely not Sarah. And they said, yeah, Sarah too. I was like, well, I mean, okay, there's nothing. All right, okay. So I went down and we were still trying to edit the DVD And I wasn't even sad at this point. I was more just shocked. Like, why would you do this? This doesn't make any sense. And I asked Sarah, and she was like, oh, I can't be bothered. And oh, I hate everything. Because, you know, when you're on tour, everybody gets tired. It's, you know, you're exhausted anyway.
And it had been a tense tour, hadn't it?
It was intense. You have a month of rehearsals beforehand. So Sarah was not happy either. So I was like, okay, right, that's how it is. So we done the show. Then afterwards, then, you know, one of the management came and had said about, here, this is the tweet that they want to do. And I was like, what, a tweet? I was like, absolutely not. What is this? This is a load of nonsense. And he was like, well, take my name off it. I don't agree with anything that's written there. You can't start off the reunion with a press conference and end 10 years by a tweet. And then I thought that was fine. Left, went to the after party, you know, great. Then it's sad, you know, you're like, ooh, you know, the crew and your dancers.
And you were very emotional on stage, weren't you?
It was, yeah. I was really emotional the night before, the second last night.
Because you'd cried then.
Cried. It was so sick we cried, but there was nothing. I didn't know anything. It was just the end of the tour. It was just general end of tour tears. So then when it ended, then there was more of a wall went up. I was like, okay, right, okay.
But what Cheryl said is she said She was the one who wanted to make a solo record, which is why we took the hiatus. So she's not now going to say that we broke up the band. So Cheryl seems to be blaming you still.
Well, I mean, I definitely am not only digging up old stuff, but when we took the initial hiatus, she was the one that came out with songs immediately. I didn't do anything for a long time. I was trying to sort out. I had a publishing deal. I was writing songs. I was, do I do this thing? You know, it wasn't in my...
Because Cheryl had obviously gone on The X Factor.
Yes, it must have been her, must have been in the plan. I didn't know what her plans were, but that was obviously set up beforehand. But I didn't mind. I don't, you know. I was very happy for her.
I mean, I know it's tough, but I think people differently that are so invested in the band, they obviously want to know the ins and outs of what happened. And I covered the band for obviously loads of years. And one thing that there always seemed to be was a divide in the band. So it was always 3 versus 2. So there was a very, very strong group, which was Kimberly, Cheryl and Nicola. And then you and Sarah were always a little bit on the outside of that. And at times that could be particularly tough for you guys from what I heard at the time, because there were times when you felt a bit isolated and, you know, a bit on your own, I guess. What was your experience of that? And do you think that's fair, what I just said?
Definitely. And this is, and it's so sad for me to even like have to admit to this stuff now, because for so long, you know, you have, there's the band and you want everybody to think we're best friends and, you know, we have pillow fights and, you know, drink milkshakes and, you know what I mean? That's that's what you want. That's of what course. I wanted it to be. I really, really wanted that to be, but just wasn't how it was. There was, and Sarah and everybody's very different. We're all very, very different characters. But it was fine. It was fine. I don't feel scarred by the experience, or I don't think anything was, you know, I don't feel hard done by it. I don't feel like a victim in it. It was how it was, and, you know, everybody can grow up and move on. And
I mean, there was one very famous awkward moment when you guys were asked by an interviewer, all five of you, why don't you like Nadine? It always did. The fans always seemed to pick that up. Was there any particular reason you think why Cheryl and Nicola and Kimberly would have a problem with you?
It was all fine at the start, but there's always politics within any band, boy band, girl band. So even to say that it's always girl bands, absolutely not. I've seen boy bands that are ready to.
Totally.
You know, that really dislike. So it's not.
Hello,
bad.
Westlife.
Well, I love Westlife. It's not. But it, you know, and you don't want to, because I'm not a victim. It's not that. But when we had auditioned as solo artists, you know, we're put into a band. And it just happened that I always got more vocals than everybody else. So in terms of people wanting their voice heard, that wasn't happening. And it made people very, very bitter. They didn't like that. And they didn't like Brian because of that. And they didn't like...
Because it was always said, wasn't it, throughout the band that you had the strongest voice. That's what was said.
Well, not said by me. Yeah. I didn't say that.
Yeah. So potentially that is where tension comes in.
It could be, you know, it could. And then, you know, you're not going to, you can, I have enough friends. I have loads of friends. Yeah. I have loads of, you know, people. So you don't really have to.
Yeah.
You can just move on. It's like, it's fine.
I have to say, did you see what went viral earlier this year? It was an amazing clip from your guys' reality show, your E4 reality show. Do you remember filming that? And there was a clip where, and it seemed, people seemed to say maybe this is how Cheryl used to actually act a bit behind the scenes, because there was a clip when she wasn't happy that you had been given an outfit by the stylist and you're then having to go into a TV interview for Australia together.
Okay.
And you just seem so exasperated by it all. And you actually just turn to the camera at one point and you say, she doesn't want to do an interview with me because she just doesn't like me. So it feels like there was always that tension of them feeling like maybe you got special treatment or something.
I absolutely didn't, but you can't, you know, people are entitled to their feelings and their But I am absolutely a team player and wanted from the start, it was, you know, I want to be in a band and wanted all of that. And you just, and I'm very happy that we had everything and all the experiences that we did have.
Now, obviously, you were the only member of Girls Aloud to come out and support Sarah Harding recently during her stint on Celebrity Big Brother. Mm-hmm. And in the house, she also made it very clear that you were the only person from the band that she now talks to. Okay. So that friendship seems to be intact, your relationship with Sarah.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. Sarah, yeah, we have our ups and downs, of course, as you do. She is so good. She is her own worst enemy. That's the thing I have to say about Sarah. She will not do one single person one bit of harm. But to herself, she'll hit self-destruct and push that button and go there. Yeah. But I've seen her for years. She would sit in anything, you know, any people around or people we worked with or the girls. She would never sit and want to, you know, say bad things about people or want, you know, not vindictive or not anything like that. Just a really, really decent girl.
I know exactly what you mean, but I have to say, and I was very open about this when she went into the house, I was really worried about her.
Yeah, I was petrified.
She's very emotionally vulnerable. Mm-hmm. I don't think it was worth it for her going into that house because it's really intense. You've got to be really emotionally strong. Mm-hmm. And she broke down in there. I don't know, did you watch most of it?
I watched.
I mean, she won, obviously, so a great result.
Oh, God, I know. She had. She called me to tell me she was doing it. Yeah. Immediate thing was absolutely not.
Yes,
why
exactly.
Stop this immediately, retract, don't do
like,
it.
Like, do Strictly Come Dancing,
just don't do it. Yeah,
don't do Big Brother.
Come, we'll go on a holiday. I'm going to Spain. Come, but she wanted to do it. She wanted to, you know, she had it. And Sarah's, you know, she's got it in her mind, she's going to do something, she's going to go and do it. And then it was, it was like sweating every night. It was like, I can't watch it. Then I didn't watch it for a while. Because I just couldn't really, just watching it live was just too intense. So I watched it on catch up. And then the only one that I did watch live was the final. Because I was like, okay, we have to do it. Let's all sit and hold hands and hope she wins.
And again, the Girls Aloud fan base right there.
They came through. They were all fully behind her and supporting her.
Are you disappointed that the other girls from the band weren't able to publicly support her?
I'm not surprised. I'm not. You know, and you would actually prefer people to be genuine, you know, genuine. You don't like somebody, there you go. Just be genuine about it. Yeah. It's, you know, you don't have to be anything else. So it was, I don't think Sarah's surprised either. It's to be expected.
Is there any hope that you guys can sort it out and potentially get back together at Girls Aloud, as Girls Aloud in the future? Because, I mean, we've said a lot today, but the fan base remains.
Yes, and I love the fan base. And this is why, as much as I want to be honest with you, it does upset me to have to, you know, dishearten the fan base in that way. And for them to kind of, you know, if you wanted to throw this whole thing away, I would be so happy and just be like, look at the videos, watch the videos, look at how fun it is. But it's not the truth. So could we work together? Absolutely, we could do that, you know, next week and it would be fine. It wouldn't, you know, make a difference to how everything would work and how it would all...
Because you're professional.
You go and do it.
Would you like to do it one day again?
Yeah,
as Girls
of course. Yeah, I love Girls Aloud. I absolutely love it.
And there have been some moments of harmony. I mean, you tweeted congratulations to Cheryl when she gave birth and joined the mummy club with little baby bear.
Of course. And I am, you know, even I can honestly say I don't dislike any of them. I don't have any bad feelings towards any of them. And when any of them does something that's great or, you know, if they have anything going on, I don't know if that makes me a selfish person, that I feel like I should enjoy their joy. I'm like, oh, God, this is so great. Oh,
no, that's
great.
She's
had a baby. She's,
because, look, at the end of the day, you guys grew up together.
Yeah.
Right? And, of course, there are going to be highs and lows. But like it or not, you're bonded for life.
Yes.
And I think in 50 years' time, people will still refer to you all as a member of Girls Aloud because you were, for a time, the biggest girl band in the country.
Oh, and it's great and it's wonderful. And then you hear the songs and you even know you can play the songs and they still sound great.
Oh, yes, you can.
So it's...
The Girls Aloud Megamix is still a regular for me.
Oh, good, 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 good. Yes, me too. I'm always huge Girls Aloud fan.
But I think that's important as well. The music stands the test of time. Because
yes.
Sometimes music can date really badly, pop mm-hmm. music.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think Girls Aloud songs have.
I know, it's amazing.
All right, well, look, it's time for our regular features now.
Okay. Nadine.
So, first up, this is quick fire. How bizarre. So, you've got to think of the most bizarre moment for okay. all of these things. So, okay. firstly, what is the most bizarre story you have ever read about yourself?
I read that I had weighed my food. I read a story, I kid you not.
I remember that.
Do you remember that?
I remember someone said... You were getting a lot of flack about your weight, weren't you, and having lost weight.
I got really bad food poisoning at one point.
Oh god.
So for 10 days, yeah, I was like, but yeah.
You just can't eat if you've had
you
food
just,
poisoning.
It was terrible.
Yeah.
And from a really, really reputable London restaurant, I'll tell you after we talk about this. I have not been there since.
Tell me so I don't go.
No. So yes, but yeah. So yeah, that weighing my food.
Ridiculous.
That is a thing that I do not.
What is the most bizarre party you have attended and who else was there?
Well, I was thinking about this. It was more of the after party. It was in Vegas and then we were leaving the party. And again, I can't really even say who it was because it's a powerful person and who knows what might happen to me.
Donald Trump.
No, not that powerful. No. So we were leaving on the plane and all of a sudden we were all there and this guy... was kind of looking at me and they were talking about the stuff that I shouldn't have been able to hear,
yeah.
talking about like scary stuff. And I was trying to like, hey, trying to pretend to sleep, trying to, and I was like, oh, get me off this plane. And the guy thought that I was a spy. All of a sudden was like, is she a spy? And stood up off his seat and the other two guys that were there were like having to sit him down. They're like, she's a singer. I was like, no.
She's a singer in a band.
Not a spy.
That sounds truly terrifying.
It was terrifying. Absolutely terrifying.
What is the most bizarre piece of advice you have been given?
Oh, this is so hard. But I think, you know, when people tell you these things, like don't trust somebody when their eyes are too
yeah.
close together. Or, it's like, why? What does
that's
that got
bizarre.
To do with trust? Your eye shape? What does that got to do? So yeah, I think that's bizarre.
And what's the most bizarre dream you've ever had about another celebrity?
Oh, when Titanic came out, I used to dream about Leonardo DiCaprio.
Oh, we all did.
Every single night.
We all did.
Have
you ever got to meet him?
Yes, I have.
How was it?
It was very good. Yeah, it was very, I tried to, but it was very cool about it. I was like, hey.
Did you try it on?
No, I didn't try it on.
Did he try it on?
No, he didn't try it on.
How disappointing.
No. Yeah, I was with a boyfriend at the time.
Mm.
So you've got to just be polite and move on, don't you?
Well, maybe. Don't know if I would. Tell me everything. You're signed to Virgin EMI. How did it all happen?
Oh, I am so, so lucky and so, so fortunate. They have been so great since we signed this year.
Yeah.
But it was at the end of last year that Ted Cockle, Brian Higgins, had taken in Go To Work. And he just heard it. He was in to hear something else. And he heard the song. And he said, yes, yes, we should do this. And then since then, they've kind of just been so supportive. And
they're a huge record company, which obviously you didn't have for your first solo release, did
yes.
you?
No, I didn't.
Because you did it yourself then.
Yes, that was, yeah, that was a mistake on my part.
Well, it's tough, really
so
tough to do it
tough.
On your own without the support of a big
so,
record company.
So, so tough. And I had been with Universal for a long time.
Yeah.
And then you just kind of get under a position like, I don't know what to do. I'm so confused. And then tried something new, and then it just ended up being just so stressful.
Well, you tried something really brave, and actually the music industry has changed a lot since then. So you were trying to tap into something, which was basically you gave an exclusive deal, didn't you, to
yes.
Tesco supermarkets. But what it meant is that a lot of people, if they weren't shopping at Tesco, couldn't actually get the music.
I know.
So it cut off a lot of the fans, didn't
mm-hmm.
it?
It did, and there was no online. It was nothing
yeah.
online, and it wasn't in all the stores. So, yeah, it was that, which was unfortunate. But that was the, yeah.
And I guess you've learned lessons from it.
Yes, I have. I've learned to not try to do it by yourself.
And you've worked a long time on this music, though, haven't you? Because you went back into the studio in 2013. Yes. So there's been a lot put into this. Tell me about the direction you've headed in, the sound.
Well, it was, the music is with Brian Higgins and Xenomania, who done all of the Girls Aloud songs.
They're amazing.
They're so amazing. So going back in with Brian after so long, we had done the Girls Aloud reunion.
Yeah.
And then a few years after that, I started working with Brian again. And we just had no idea. It was, you know, a complete blank canvas of what do we do? Obviously, we do pop. That's what we do and that's what we love. But is it, you know, like Girls Aloud, we had the ability to do maybe pop rock or soul or, you know, all different types of things. So we just kind of started going through songs and going through material and seeing what fitted and what made sense. So it's a real mishmash of great beats and great music and lyrics that are quirky and out there, but not as much so as Girls Aloud, more kind of 2017 now.
Yeah, it's got a very, well, the single, which I've heard and is great, has a very current vibe to it, doesn't it? Because there's a real move towards dance music at the moment, and it very much ticks that box.
Okay, but I'm glad you think so. I'm really, really glad you think so.
And is there an album ready to go?
Well, there's more. There's probably about 4 albums ready to go. Just in the way that Brian works, that you go through so much material. So it's putting, you know, we have, which I'll have to play. Yes. More songs that are kind of as part of a package that we've got. And yeah, hopefully, I don't even know, do people make albums anymore? Is that
not
a thing?
Really?
Is it?
Well, I love an album and I am always going to be a huge supporter of the album. I think people release them now in different ways and that's what's interesting. So Calvin Harris was sort of the first to be this big proponent of just releasing singles when they're ready. Mm-hmm. But John Mayer, who's my favourite singer, did something really interesting earlier this year, and he released his album in 3 different waves. So he released it like 4 tracks at a time.
Oh.
So there are different ways to do it now.
Okay. So we shall see. Hopefully we get to do more stuff.
But I think fans always want an album. And I think what's really interesting is that, I'm sure you know this, but the Girls Aloud fan base, I certainly know it from my Twitter page, has stayed strong.
Yes, they have.
And they want an album, don't they?
Well, I love an album too, because I know that when you do, if you put a live show together, you can go through all of the journeys. That you've got your light and your shade and your darker moments, and you can kind of take it up and down through, you know, with maybe 12 songs. So I would love to do that. So I would love to give that to them if that's what they want.
Now, this is my favourite segment because it's really tough. So this is called Shuffle, Delete, Repeat.
Okay.
And this is when I'm going to give you 3 Girls Aloud songs in different categories, and you have to choose which one you'd shuffle, so as in come back to, which one you'd delete, and which one you'd put on repeat, so you love. So we're going to kick off with Girls Aloud bangers, okay?
Yes.
So we've got Sound of the Underground. Biology. Give it up, and then they take it away. A girl's got to sip it up and get her head in the shade. And Something Kinda Ooh. Which would you delete? Which would you shuffle? Which would you repeat?
Oh my god, this is so hard. Which would I delete? What was the middle one?
Biology.
I do love Biology, but I don't know if I love Sound of the Underground.
So would you repeat that?
I would repeat Sound of the Underground.
Because it was the song that made you guys.
I love that song still. It just.
So which would you delete?
Oh my god. Something Kinda Ooh.
Yeah, I think that's the right call. And put Biology on shuffle.
Yeah.
Now, these are Girls Aloud covers.
Okay.
So you've got Jump. Heart, I'll Stand By You. And Walk This Way. Which obviously featured your good friends, the Sugar Babes.
Sugar Babes, without Mocha.
Yes.
Which isn't a shame, but...
Line up three, I think,
yeah,
of the Sugar Babes.
Okay.
So, mate, are you going to delete that one then?
Delete that one. Let's just make it easy and delete that one.
And which would you shuffle and which would you repeat out of Jump and I'll Stand By You?
I would repeat Jump
and
shuffle I'll Stand By You.
Jump and that iconic video. And then finally, Girls Aloud Ballads.
Yes.
So we've got Life Got Cold. Hello. Whole Lot of History. I'm talking about a whole lot of history. I can't find a way to show what you mean to me. And See the Day. Will you ever see the day? Heartache leads astray.
Good love will always come from me. I would delete See the Day immediately. Just that can go. And A Whole Lot of History, I do love that.
So repeat that.
And
put Life Got Cold on shuffle.
Yeah, I do love Life Got Cold too. It's a difficult one, so maybe, put Life Got Cold on shuffle and repeat A Whole Lot of History.
Now, what would be, this is a really tough question, right? And I've got two that I toss up between, or probably three.
Okay.
But what would be your favourite Girls Aloud song ever? Album, track, single.
The one that went down so well, and I don't know if it's just because it's the new, it was new, but Something New.
Yeah.
When we performed that on tour, and they were like, go, literally the whole place would just go mad. That I really, really loved. And then the chorus of that, it was kind of that laid back.
That is a tune.
But it's probably because it's new.
Yeah.
And then... Because even the last one we don't want, it's the greatest. That's just song after song after song. It's hard to choose. Call the Shots, I love.
Well, I was going to say, so my top three, but I don't know. I can't choose between them. So Call the Shots, Can't Speak French, and Blackjack, which was never released as a single. And I always thought it should have been released as a single.
Yeah.
So if you're sitting here not knowing what Blackjack by Girls Aloud is, go and listen to it on Spotify now because it is a tune.
Mm-hmm.
Now you've moved back
to
the UK, which really surprised me because I always assumed you had stayed such a Californian girl because you went out there, you had the amazing lifestyle, you opened your pub, didn't you, on the beach, you had your family out there.
Yes,
Your boyfriend, he's American. But there's been some type of draw back to England and back to London.
Yeah, I think the plan was when we first went out there was to try something completely new. My parents were almost 50 at the time, and I had lived in London since I was 17, and they'd always lived in, you know, the same place. So I thought, they've lived almost 50 years in the one place. They have to start moving around. Let's try somewhere else. And everyone loved California, so we thought, we'll do that, and then we'll see how long. My mom thought we were going to be there for maybe 8 or 9 years, and she was exactly right.
Really?
And then back to here again.
And so have they gone back to Ireland?
They have. They go over and back. I can't be away from them for too long. I'm like, please come back, please. So my mommy's here now, and my dad and sister come over in the week.
And I guess you are sort of half American now, though, dating Jason.
American.
So he was an American footballer, is that right?
Yes.
And you've got one child together.
Yes, we do. Mm-hmm.
So you're a mummy now.
Yes, I am.
How has that changed your life?
You just have no time. Just no time to do anything.
I can't imagine.
It's really, really, like, even last night, it's almost as if she knows that there's something going on because, you know, we were getting up early this morning, so she got up at like 1 a.m. and just didn't want to go to sleep. She wanted to go downstairs and I was like, well, what can you do? You can't, you know, she's three, so you just have to go with it. And
she called Anaya, I say it right?
That's it, yeah.
What a beautiful name.
Thank you.
And so it's a great age. Do you think at some point she might get any brothers and sisters, or are you happy with one?
I'm very happy with one. Yes, very, very happy with one.
And I guess you're back to work now as well. Yeah. So you're not even going to have time to think about that for a little while.
I know. And Anaya's not under this whole work thing either. She's like, what is this? No, Mummy, no, no.
She wants Mummy 24-7.
Yes,
I guess make the most of that while she still feels that way.
Yeah, very true. So she'll be like, just go, please go, yeah. Don't come back.
And so, I mean, that was a period of your life which sort of fitted perfectly in terms of timing, because you had the Big Girls Aloud reunion and then you got pregnant quite soon afterwards, didn't you?
Yes.
So did you feel like it was the closing of a chapter? And I guess in a way, the closing of your youth, because Girls Aloud had been such a big part of mm-hmm. that for you. And then all of a sudden it was over.
Yes, definitely. It had been 10 years at that point. It was started when I was 17 and then I was 27, 10 years later when we had done the reunion. And then, so then I was having an IA. So it was like, okay, this is, and I'm, you know, I enjoy, you know, being at home and cooking and doing these things, but I also enjoy being able to travel and do all of these things. So it was just those few years were a great time to kind of get used to everything and kind of get used to just be with Anaya basically all the time, do everything with her. And then as she got a bit older, work out how we can work and, you know, kind of do everything together.
Now it's time for digital detox. So this is if you had to have just one of these things, okay? One Spotify playlist on repeat for the rest of your life.
I like the top 40. I like all the new stuff.
One app on your phone.
Instagram.
One contact in your WhatsApp.
One cut me mommy.
One account on your Instagram feed.
Lad Bible.
One YouTube video on repeat for the week.
I got probably Gia Lipa New Rules. Then I can reenact it.
One TV channel.
Cooking channel.
One person you follow on Twitter.
My friend Paloma.
Paloma Faith?
No, Paloma. Not Paloma Faith. A different Paloma. She's from New York and she just says the craziest. But she only tweets maybe once every
What's
6 months.
What's her Twitter name?
At your mom.
We need to follow her.
Your mom. Your MOM.
And one gadget you can't live without.
I mean, obviously your phone, but that's an obvious one, isn't it?
Obvious, but good. So let's
go
with it.
Yeah.
It's one of, for me, and I actually spoke about it on a TV show I was recording the other day, one of the most enduring moments of reality TV when you first became famous, which actually a lot of people in the UK will assume was on Popstars The Rivals, but it was actually on the Irish version of Popstars with Mr. Louis Walsh when he formed the band Six. And one of the most heart-wrenching moments of TV that there could ever be when there's this huge realization that Nadine is not the age she says she is. I think you're only 15, right?
I was, I think I was 15 or 16.
But at a certain date, you had to be 16.
Yes, you had to be 18.
18.
To audition, you had to be 18, yeah.
And so they threw you out. You made the band and they threw you out, which at the time was devastating. Mm-hmm. But I said on this show, and I really do believe it, you must look back with so much gratitude now that that happened, because if you had have stayed in the band, then Girls Aloud would never have happened for you.
Yeah, I wouldn't have been able to do it. I would have been, you know, tied on with those contracts and not able to do any of those things. Yeah, it was, it was so young. And everything, it's like, as you know yourself, with TV shows, everything moves so fast. 1 minute you're singing a song in front of people, the next minute you're in a band, the next minute you're on, you know, you're moving to Dublin. It's like, what is going on? And all in the space of a few weeks. So,
But back then, the fact that you went to those lengths, right, and you were so desperate to do music at any cost, really, because you're like, I'm 18, that's fine. It showed that you had the ambition and the grit to do it, which I think in this industry you need.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. It's if you don't want to do it, or if you don't really, really think that it's something that you're really interested in, then you should do something else, because there are a lot easier paths to ways to spend your day than than Beatty in this.
And Louis Walsh was obviously part of that show, mm-hmm. and then a big part of Pop Stars The Rivals.
Yes, he was the one that made me do Pop Stars The Rivals. He was like, you have got to do this. I was like, Louis, I don't trust anybody on TV. I am not doing a TV show. As long as I love, you will never see me on TV.
Because you were just so burned by what happened.
Yeah, it was so awful. It was, yeah, it was a really, yeah, because the situation, you know, there's loads of details to that situation, but it definitely wasn't how it was portrayed. And I had went to the audition and I had wrote, you know, said what age I was, and they said, oh, you can't do that, you have to be 18, so you have to change this from this to this. So it was actually one of the production
team.
So
they told you to do
it. They had done it. They had changed it, not me. And my younger,
oh my God.
And my younger sister, who's 2 years younger than me, was going to audition as well, and they changed her date of birth as well. So that's how it all happened. And then before you know it, you're in the band, and it's like,
and they obviously freaked out.
Then they were, yeah, and then it was...
Probably for insurance reasons or something like that.
I think they knew.
So did they just want drama?
They wanted drama. Their production company have wanted drama. Terrible. Yeah, they have. And it was like a huge debate, a huge thing in Ireland over, you know, how they had known. It was like all they had to do was ask anybody. I wasn't of drinking age. Yeah. I didn't drink. I was like, my mommy will kill me if she sees me get a glass of wine. No, I'm okay. I'm fine. I'll pass. And I was like, what is happening? This is... And everyone was... Do you know he was on that too? Una from the Saturdays.
No way. Yeah, she auditioned.
Yeah, she auditioned. She was of age. But she auditioned too.
It was a great series, actually. Yeah. I need to go back on YouTube and watch it. No, too painful for you.
Just too disastrous looking. It's like, oh my God. You know when you don't know how to do makeup or any of those things?
Yeah. You look so differently, actually. So young. And you were.
I was.
But it's interesting because a lot of the other members of the band have spoken quite negatively about Louis over the last couple of years. Most recently, just a couple of weeks ago, I don't know if you saw, but Kimberly Walsh gave an interview where she said that Louis had actually asked members of the band to lose weight and that he'd said that they were overweight. But obviously, it must be difficult for you because at the same time, as you say, Louis was such a big part of you actually doing the show, and he believed in you right from the start. So what's your view? Where do you stand on the whole Louis Walsh versus Girls Aloud debate?
I was always in the middle from the start because I had known Louis, and then I don't think he liked the girls from the start. Yeah. He thought they were troublemakers and trouble. I was obviously stuck in, I was in the band with them. So I was like, please stop. You don't even know them. Like, get to know them. And so from very early on, I remember there was a voicemail he had called. I think Cheryl got into trouble with something, and he had called and left this, you know, and he was screaming. The girls were there, and we were like, and we were on the stage. I think it was Ant and Dec Saturday Night Takeaway. And I was like, I don't know. What am I going to say? I don't know. So it wasn't going to be a harmonious thing ever. I just tried to stay out of it, like with most things. Like, I don't know, stay out of it.
Yeah, I think there was always a big clash in particular between Cheryl and Louis, which is why it's so hilarious that they ended up having to work together
for
on the
years. I know, and I thought, how is this going to work? But it seemed fine. It seemed
well. They still love throwing the old insult at each other. And now, Nadine, I've been really looking forward to this. So this is Nadine's accent challenge. Okay, so do you know how this works, Nadine?
Tell me.
Okay, so I'm going to give you the lyrics to Love Machine.
Okay.
So there you go, although you probably know them off by heart. And then you're going to start speaking in your normal accent.
Okay.
And then I'm going to shout out at various different points accents for you to transform into.
Okay.
Right. So, kick off as Nadine, and we'll give this a go. So, this is Irish, obviously.
This is Irish, and this is why I don't sing in my accent. What do you hear?
Do your strongest Irish accent possible.
My strongest Derry accent.
Yes.
Ladies, you're damn right. You can't read a man's mind. We're living in two tribes and heading for war.
New York.
Why did I immediately want to go onto your accent? Can I get a cup of coffee? Nobody's perfect. We all got to work it, but fellas, we're worth it, so don't break the law.
Scottish,
your call's late. Big mistake. You got to hang around in limbo for as long as that take. Next time, read my mind, and I'll be good to you.
Australian.
Guys, we gift wrap kitty cats. We're only turning into tigers. We've got to fight back. So let's go Eskimo.
Geordie, Channel Cheryl here.
Do way, eh? You mind? I come and take my hand. Understand that you can. You're my man and I need you tonight. That's a really hard one.
And let's wrap up with the Queen's English.
Oh, darling. Come make my dreams, honey, hard as it seems. Loving me is as easy as pie.
Oh. Oh, Nadine, that was amazing. Because I have to be honest with you, I just thought you just had your accent. And I couldn't ever imagine you speaking in another accent.
No,
I just couldn't.
Oh, I love doing accents.
And I should say, you're doing a bit of acting. Aren't you? We ran a picture in the Bizarre column last week of your big film debut, which was premiered at the Venice Film Festival.
It was. I mean, we can hardly call. I mean, I'm on there for all of possibly 30 seconds, maybe
still,
31 seconds.
Still.
But still, everybody has to, you know, we all have to. And it's, yeah, the film looks great.
So is this something you're exploring? Potential second career?
Yes, I do. I do really, really love it. And I used to do a lot of that when I was younger. My dad has always done shows and acting, so he would drag me and my sister along and make us join in. But yes, that was real acting, that there's some real actors and actresses on that. So I'm delighted to be part of it.
Well, congratulations and thank you so much for joining
you.
Us on Bizarre Life today. Go to Work is out now.
Yes.
So you can download it. You can stream it. You don't have to go to Tesco this time.
Yes, yes. That'll be very convenient. Just do it on your phone.
And look, Nadine, I should tell you as well, if you want to download the podcast, which I know that you're absolutely going to do, then you just have to search for Bizarre Life. And anyone can do it. Just search for Bizarre Life with Dan Wootton. The great thing is you can do it on any of the podcast platforms. Obviously, you've got Apple Podcasts, which is the main one, or iTunes, but also on Spotify now as well. So you can go and listen to Go to Work and download and subscribe to Bizarre Life at the same time. And we have a whole back catalogue of interviews there, which you can listen to now. Ed Sheeran, Celine Dion, Shawn Mendes, Liam Payne. So it really is worth subscribing.
Yeah.
And you'll get all of the latest episodes of Bizarre Life that are coming up as well. And next week, I can tell you, we are behind the scenes with Take That on their brand new musical called The Band, which is really interesting. One day, though, I would love there to be Girls Aloud, the musical.
That would be class. Yes, let's make it happen.
So, Nadine, thank you so much for joining us today.
Dad.
And good luck with the single.
Thank you very much.